A tired salesman abandoned his car in a no parking zone and left this note on his car. I've circled the block 20 times. I've had an appointment and I must keep it or I'll lose my job. Forgive us our trespasses, he put in parentheses. He came out a couple hours later and he found this note on his car. It says, I've circled the block for 20 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation, he put in parentheses. So you got to be very careful in what you try to pull off. But as others know scripture as well. If you would, turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And so, Brother Jason, if you're watching and you like that joke, make sure you give it a thumbs up. And all right. At this time, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that Moses is intervening. Of course, Israel has sinned once again. And in verse number 31 of Exodus chapter 32, let's go ahead and read verse 31 and 32. It says, And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, thee out of thy book which thou hast written. And let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you please give me the words to say. I pray that you'd please keep the distractions away, that I can focus on what you'd have me to say. And dear Lord, I pray that you'd please take the busyness of this life and this work and this day. Many are probably tired and exhausted. I pray that you'd give me exactly what needs to be said so our hearts and faith can be increased and strengthened. And dear Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity and the freedom and the liberty to come and to worship and to sing songs about you and hymns and spiritual songs. But, dear Lord, also to open up your word and to learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you see here in this passage, as I want to, if I were to title the Bible study tonight, Prayer, a Changing Tool. Prayer not only changes our problems, but it changes us. And that's what I want to really focus on tonight as we look at what prayer can be in our lives and what prayer does. And to understand a little bit more about it, we've been going through the book of Genesis all the way to the very beginning when Adam would walk with God in the cool of the day, and that conversation, that prayer. And that's what we have today in our prayer life. It's a conversation between us and the Lord. And so as you look at this, Moses, it almost might look that Moses is threatening God, but I'd like to see as you, in verse 32, if thou wilt forgive them their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray. And that means to beg or to earnestly ask. Moses is trying to intercede for the sins of Israel. Of course, while he was away, boy, they made a graven image and they disobeyed God and committed sin. And Moses, of course, we know he was angry, but to the point he was begging God to forgive them. And he asked God or pleaded with God, as he says, and if not, blot me, I pray. He's saying, Lord, would you forgive them? Please forgive them. And if not, he's asking him to remove his name from the book of life, the book of those names that are written of those that will one day be in heaven. So we see Moses is taking a big stance here as Moses is willing to give up of his eternal security, give up of his home in heaven for his people as to as to get forgiveness and to turn God's wrath, as Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to get forgiveness on our behalf and to turn God's wrath from our sins, and so we could obtain forgiveness and righteousness. And so we see here that prayer can be a negotiating tool. As Moses is negotiating, trying to get and seek forgiveness for his people that God has called him to lead. And of course, they disobeyed. So he's begging and pleading for God to forgive them of their sins. And it's not uncommon when we get in trouble. And let's just be honest tonight. How many of in your lives have ever gotten in trouble or found yourself in a situation where you beg God to help you, where in the situation you're trying to wheel and deal. Let's just be honest, I've done it. I know in my life I found myself, you know, saying, Lord, if you can fix it, this situation, I'll do this. Or, Lord, if you can do this, I'll do this. I remember as a teenager saying, Lord, if you can give me a voice to sing, I'll only use it to sing for you. That's just one of the many deals I've tried to and made with the Lord. I know I've done it many times underneath the hood of a vehicle, working and saying, Lord, if you please help me, give me the strength of Samson to break this bolt loose, or the wisdom of Solomon to be able to figure out how to do it another way, and to get this thing running. I'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and every opportunity, and the Lord does. And boy, just and that can work in our lives. And many times when we beg and we plead and we exchange things with God for His help, many times God will accept us at our terms. I've got a video that Brother Vare is going to go ahead and put up on the screens. Just a real quick, I could have read it for you tonight, but I wanted you to hear it from his words. And there's many more like this, but James Calhoun won the Medal of Honor back in Vietnam. Now, for 2 days, their platoon was in heavy engagement, and as a corpsman, as a medic, ran out into the fire zone to retrieve his comrades and his fellow soldiers, and was shot in the arm, had shrapnel in his back and his head, and beyond his own wounds, he kept going for a whole 24 hours without food and water, continued to fight not only the enemy but rescue and save his troops. And while he was on the second day of the battle, and several of their medevacs got shot up and they had to fly away, so they were there stranded for those 2 days all on their own. He was went to carry another soldier who was shot badly in the stomach and realized he could not throw him over his back because his wound would cause him to die, so he had to carry him in his arms. And on his way to back to safety or to the far away from the shooting, he makes a deal with God. And I want you to listen to this real quick.
Quite a conversation the second evening with God about the fact that I all of a sudden remembered that my father, who is really my best friend as well as my father, I had not told him that I loved him since I was a little boy, because he just didn't do it. He loved me, and I'm sure he knew that I loved him. We showed love to each other, but it hit me that I'm a long ways away from my dad, and so kind of bargained there, and I said, if you can get me out of this hell on earth so that I can tell my dad that I love him one more time and hug him, I'll be the best dad and the best coach and the best teacher that I can possibly be. And this incredible peace came over me. I can't even describe it, because now I knew it was not my will, that I'd handed it over to him, and if I died in that battle, that was his will. If I didn't, then I've got to give him the credit. And I've been trying to hold up my end of the bargain since I got home. But the first thing I did do in Chicago O'Hare Airport was run to my dad, hug him, and tell him that I loved him. And he returned the same three words, and like we'd been doing it forever. I think we learned a lot from that situation. If anything was positive alone in Tamkee, it was that you need to express to those that you care that much about that you do love them.
And with that, this is just one of countless. I love reading history. I love watching documentaries. And I've heard countless stories of people finding themselves in harm's way. And it may be in a foxhole or in a dugout, destroyed building, and enemy fire all around, and making pleads and begging for God to intervene. And of course, this American hero made a deal and begged God that if he could save him or spare his life, the first thing he would do is go tell his father that he loved him, and he kept his end of the bargain. And, I think of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to turn over there real quick. 1 Samuel chapter 1. As we see Hannah, of course, barren and for years wanting a child, and embarrassed and ashamed because of her not providing a child, as it was and kind of like a medal of honor to wear around the society amongst the women of that day. And so we find her distraught, and she goes to the temple. And of course, Eli thinks her to be drunk because she's there and she's praying and she's asking for God to intervene, and she's begging to the point her lips are moving but no sound's coming out. And Eli sees her and says, "Hey, you need to get out of here. You don't need to be in here and drunk." And she is begging and pleading with the Lord. Look at verse number 11 of 1 Samuel 1. It says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child." All right, so there's the plea. Here's the deal. "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth. And then we see that Hannah continued to pray, and Eli said, "Go, what you've asked of the Lord will be done." And of course, we know that she, of course, had a child, and that child was Samuel. And when he was of age, she brought him to the temple. And there we know, of course, the rest of the story. So it's not just this one soldier, but countless stories that I've heard people tell and share that they've made begs, bargaining pleas, or begs with the Lord. We see, let's turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. Wrong way. Judges chapter 11, just a few pages to the left. Judges chapter 11, and let's look at verse number 35. "And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." See, Jephthah had made a promise, a plea bargain with the Lord. He had found himself against an army, outnumbered, and he vowed a vow. If you look at verse number 30, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Amnon into my hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Jephthah has made a plea saying, "God, if you will give me the victory, if you will help me out in my dark time of need, I promise that whatever comes out of my house, the very first thing, it will be yours." And of course, we see his daughter came out to greet him. And of course, he's heavy hearted. And he says, "I've made a promise. I've opened my mouth." Now he's regretting the promise that he made. But we know Jephthah was a man of his word. And of course, you hear this story and you think, "Boy, how could that be? How saddening that must be." But yet we see something about the character of Jephthah, that he made a promise and he kept it. Now, of course, hopefully that's not the promises we'd be making today, but we see in Scripture the importance of keeping your word. It's better not to make a promise than to make a promise and not keep it. Realize who you're making the promise. Don't make promises to God flippantly. Don't say, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll do this and this, and I'll live my life for you forever." And then a week later, we forget the promise we made. But you know the one thing, when we make promises to God, He doesn't forget. Your siblings might forget the promise they made to you. Your children might forget the promises they made to you. Your parents might forget the promises. Your grandparents might forget the promises. But guess what? God never does. And when we make a promise to God, we'd better keep it. And when I read this story of Jephthah, it just goes to show the importance of making a promise and keeping our word. As a father, going back, I could think, you know, whatever comes out of the barn. Maybe he was hoping for a mother-in-law to come out. I don't know what it was, but that plea and that bargaining, that negotiation that he made with the Lord, he kept his promise. And we know that Hannah kept her promise as she begged a son from God. And of course, James McCallahan, he begged and pleaded and prayed with God, "If you can get me out of Vietnam, I'll make sure that I tell my dad I love him." And so whatever the case may be, you look in Acts chapter 5, you see the promise of Ananias and Sapphira. As they had pledged to God to give the portion of land that they were going to sell to the Lord and to the church, but then decided to keep it back, God ended up killing them. They ended up lying about it, and therefore God took their life. Of course, different times. One came in without the knowledge of what the other one had just done, had kept to the same story, and God killed them both. The importance of making a promise with God. You know, in our prayer lives, we see that those in Scripture have begged and pleaded and made deals with God, and they kept it. And God came through. And we see those that made promises and failed, and the punishment and the result of that. When we go to the Lord in our prayer life, be very careful before we start offering things that we're not going to keep. Because remember who we're talking to. Remember that God many times will accept our terms, but we need to remember He's taking us at His word. And if we give God our word, we're going to do something, and then we don't do it, we have just lied to God Himself, which is a sin. We have committed sin, and therefore every time we sin, punishment will ensue as far as sin. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. There will be a result, the cause and effect in this Christian life. When we do bad, guess what? The sowing and reaping, we can expect the same. And God expects us to keep our word when we go to Him. Just like my parents, or my children, they've done the same thing with me. I've done the same thing with my parents. You know, "Mom and Dad, if you let me stay up, I'll do this or I'll do that." And with that, there's been times I've kept my word and those promises. There's been times that I have not. I forgot. Understand, when we go to the Lord, we better be very slow. As I read the story about Jephthah, I'm very slow into what I'm promising the Lord, because whatever I promise, I must keep. And therefore, prayer can be a bargaining tool. We can go to the Lord to have our problems changed, and asking for help from the one who has the power to give that help. But we must fulfill the promises in which we make to God. Young people, if you promise to give your life to God, then you better give your life to God. If you surrender and say, Lord, if you'll do this, 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 I promise I'll surrender to you, you better surrender to Him. You better give your life to Him because there's nothing more miserable there's nothing more tragic than directly disobeying God and a lie and a promise in which you gave to Him, and God will expect you to keep your word. Not only can prayer change our problems as a negotiation, and as we've seen in Scripture, it worked for those in the Bible. It's worked for those that have shared their testimony. I've seen it work in my life, and of course, smaller story situations than people shooting at me. But the same thing, it can be true about our prayer life. It can change our problems. But be very careful in what you promise God. Be very careful in what we promise each other, because our word should mean something. But prayer can also change us, not just our situations. Turn to Exodus chapter 34, just a couple, two chapters back from Exodus 32. As we see in Scripture, Exodus 34, verse number 29. It says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, that means he did not know, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Very interesting thing about prayer is that that prayer can actually change how others see you. That when we spend time with God, it changes us. We cannot be in the presence of holiness and not be changed. Moses was totally unaware of this change. He had no idea that his face was shining and glowing. He had no idea. He wist not. It means he did not know that the time that he spent in God's presence, it had changed him. And when the idea is that when we spend time with God, we might not be aware of the changes. You say, well, I pray a couple minutes, or I prayed and I tried really hard in January and February to every day pray and be with God, but I didn't see much of a change. You may not see the change, but everyone else around you will. As you spend time with God, others are going to see the difference. It may not be, it may be in our demeanor that people see a change and a difference. I can tell. As a youth pastor over the years, I could tell when the demeanor and the attitude and the spirit of a teenager, I could tell whether they were close to God or they were getting farther and farther. I could tell whether their relationship with mom and dad was like it should be based upon their demeanor. Our time and our presence with God can be shown in our demeanor. It can be the increased amount of patience that we have, the amount of patience we have at work and throughout our day, or maybe the calmer spirit that we have going throughout our day can be noticed by others. Prayer was designed by God to change things, whether it be to change situations like Hannah praying for a child, like Moses praying for the forgiveness of his people, James McCallan that prayed in Vietnam that God would spare him so he could go and tell his father he loved him in person. As whatever the situation may be, God gave us or designed prayer to change things. And not only just our circumstances, but to change us. To change us, and it should first change us. I went 5 minutes in prayer. All my circumstances should be changed. No, we should be the first things changing and asking God to help us to be what He wants Him to be. And of course, we see as He came at peace with His situation, knowing that God was in control and whatever God's will was and is. And of course, that's what we see Jesus teaching His disciples and teaching them how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. As we go to the Lord and we submit ourselves, submit our will, submit our wants and our wishes to His, Boy, what calming joy and peace, our demeanor and patience and spirit can change. We see that Job's heart changed as he prayed with the Lord. We see Habakkuk's heart changed from chapter 1 to chapter 3. We see that David's heart changed as he sought God's will and purpose for his life. We see Daniel's heart was changed as he decided in his life not to defile himself, and he would continue to follow after the Lord, and even if his life would be put at risk. Prayer is a mighty tool that God has given us, and it's a changing tool. It's a tool in which we can change our situations by asking God to intervene, by asking God to and begging Him to and pleading with Him, if it be His will, but it can also change us. Maybe we say, well, the situations I have, and going around and asking other people to pray for our situations, I hope that we're more burdened than anyone else about our problems, that we're taking the time. And trust me, I want people to share their burdens with me. I want them to give me the prayer request so I can pray too. But I hope you're praying for your own problems. I hope you're going to the Lord with faith. You know, this virus, so small we can't even see it, how it's changed our world. Can you imagine what a seed of faith would do? A mustard seed of faith could do to this world if we would just live it, trust in it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And when we go in prayer, we should go believing, we should go trusting, and as we go for the changing, trusting that God can change and He has the power and the ability to change our situation. But it doesn't always mean He will. But trusting as we call upon Him and His will, but going and having that faith of that transforming in our lives, of what prayer can do for us. Yes, we need to pray for others. Yes, we need to pray for other problems and situations in their life. But when we go to the Lord in prayer, say, well, we pray at church on Wednesday night, or I prayed before dinner, or I prayed, you know, 5 minutes here. Prayer is a transforming tool. Maybe we're not changing like we should because we're not spending enough time in prayer, as those in Scripture did, and those of the faith that have gone on before have shared their testimonies of what prayer has done in their lives. I want that too. I want to know prayer like John R. Rice did. I want to know prayer like those that D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. I want to know prayer like Hannah. I want to know prayer like Jephthah and David and Job and Daniel and Abeka. I want to know prayer in my life, and it's a changing tool. Maybe the situation's not what needs to change. Maybe God designed prayer so that we can be the one that is changed. It may not be the situation that God is planning on changing. Maybe it's you. But how can we ever know if we don't spend that precious time in prayer? And let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that You please help each and every one of us to be burdened to spend much time in prayer for our country, each other, the needs of each other, but dear Lord, our own struggles and problems in life. And dear Lord, we spent many months and weeks praying for the last election and begging and pleading for You to intervene and that we would give You the glory and the honor. And dear Lord, we've seen You come through time and time again throughout our life. And dear Lord, maybe the situations in life that are meant to be changed is our own hearts, our own lives. But dear Lord, we can do that by spending time in Your presence, by spending time in Your Word as we fellowship and walk with You on a daily basis. Dear Lord, I pray that this would be a church, a house of prayer. Dear Lord, not a house of fellowship, a house of meetings, a house of talkings or singing, but dear Lord, You have called Your church to be a house of prayer. May prayer resonate in our lives day and night. May we cease from praying in our lives to spend time into Your presence so that our light can be shown around our neighborhood, throughout our family, throughout our workplace, because of the time that we spend in your presence. I pray that you please transform us into your image, into your likeness, and into your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And so at this time, we're going to go ahead and ask our ladies to, as you're dismissed, thank you for those that are watching. If you haven't done so, please drop in a comment. Let us know you're watching. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, teenagers, we'll leave here at 6 o'clock Friday night, and we'll look forward to seeing you Sunday at 10 o'clock.